Hello and welcome to another episode of The Messed Up Gardener. My name is Esther Aiken. I'm your host for today and I'm absolutely buzzed to be here. Can you believe it? We are up to 70 episodes already. Time just seems to speed up. This whole last week we've been anticipating the orchard pick, which is really exciting. It is also a short week heading into Easter weekend, and if the fruit is harvested, we'll be seeing it roll over the packhouse grading tables during the long weekend. This harvest can make the difference between only just surviving till the next crop or actually be able to replace some of the orchard's infrastructure, such as the end assemblies. With all the costs involved these days, and green kiwi fruit is not as lucrative as gold, in saying that, gold also have a lot more growing costs associated with them, mostly the Zespri licenses to grow the gold. The assumption several associates I've spoken to regarding the kiwi fruit orchard has been quite interesting, and a comment made by a colleague was that he was rather envious because the orchardists make bank. Now, if you have multiple hectares, then this may be the case. As like anything, the more of one thing or one item, in this case the kiwi fruit itself, you have to sell, the more money you can potentially make. However, in our case, we only have a small sort of just orchard canopy of roughly just under a hectare, and the costs can be quite intense. But the orchard is also used for other purposes, and we have a number of vegetable gardens there and storage areas that are used for day-to-day operations for the bees, which ultimately means the property rate of return value is substantial in a non-monetary way. Although thankfully, the success of the fruit that's currently on the plants are a result of a much better growing season compared to the previous year. The previous growing season, there were horrible frosts and horrible nasty rain events, including cyclones, which cost the industry millions of dollars in damaged fruit and vine death. I remember saying every week, it's still raining, it's still raining. And it's just been horrendous. So in some situations, it is still going to take growers another year of good cropping to recover from that season. With respect to my partner, he has put in an incredible effort into getting the orchard up to speed, and it looks incredible with his hard work absolutely paying off. But in other news, my partner has also been incredibly busy creating some purpose-built mushroom grow rooms for me, and I am very excited about the potential of being able to grow more than a batch at one time, and hopefully I'll be able to start producing a little bit more than 50-odd kilos a week. Previously, I completed a commercial mushroom growing course, and I am so excited, like it took me a whole year to finish. So I'm absolutely thrilled to finally be able to put my knowledge to the test. I can't wait to be able to go to market selling my produce. Not only am I getting my mushroom growing areas, but we are also going to be establishing the hydroponic gullies I bought a wee while ago around our fence line, and I will also be able to take the hydroponic lettuces to market at the same time as my mushrooms. And who knows, that combination, especially as I will have the volume weekly, I may just be able to move on from my corporate job in a year or two. I have been passionate about mushrooms for years, and I am absolutely so excited to be finally going back to it. Now, don't get me wrong, I absolutely love, love, love my bees, but with my young child, well, not so young, she's 12, and obviously at an age where she desperately wants to go to a friend's or a sports event or something like that, clearly doing my bees is getting a little bit on the hard side, and she's not interested in it anymore, so I will leave the bees, I think, up to my partner and his business. So I will be doing something a little bit different going forward. I'll still be beekeeping when I need to be helping, but I think the mushrooms and that sort of aspect of my gardening will be something I'll be focusing on a little bit more in the future. So one of the issues I'm having at the moment is because we're so busy, like you can hear, and because I utilize the successional growing method in my gardens, they have been left to do their own thing for a wee while, and I must confess they are starting to look really, really tired. I have some amazing capsicum plants that are starting to turn. I managed to get some decent crops off them this year, so absolutely thrilled. My scarlet runner beans, which I normally would have already collected the seed off for next year, is still and very much in need of some serious TLC. And as we're going away for the long weekend, that is just going to have to wait another bit before I can get to them. In saying that, it is also very much a change of seasons, and of course everything starts to look a bit tired going through autumn heading into winter. But it did make me sit down and have a quick brainstorm regarding reviving a tired old garden, which can actually be a very rewarding and rejuvenating experience, and I wanted to present some top tips to help breathe new life into your outdoor space. Now the first tip is of course to assess the situation. This is where you take a walk around your garden and identify areas that need attention. Look for overgrown plants, weeds, dead or dying foliage, and any other signs of neglect. Now, I have a plant diary that I use to scribble notes in, especially if I notice certain issues with the garden. For example, if there is an area where I'm having potentially seed dampening off, or it is more susceptible to powdery mildew at certain times of the year. And I make sure that when I'm assessing my gardens, I am also going over the notes that I've taken over the year so that I can make sure that when I'm starting to revive the tired, shitty, horrible garden, I'm taking all the steps I can to get it back up to good health and being productive again. Also, when you are taking the time to assess the situation, you can sit down and work out a plan as to how you're going to revive that particular garden. You can also potentially create a budget so you know how much it's going to cost you to revive it back to peak performance. The next tip is something that I like to do on a regular basis, but it is extremely important to do, especially when you're trying to revive a tired garden, and that is to clear out the clutter. So start by removing any debris, dead plants, weeds, and other unwanted items from the garden. This will help create a clean slate for your revitalization efforts. Now, you're probably going to go, duh, of course clearing out the clutter is important, but it's amazing how often we gloss over it in the garden because it's a normal gardening chore, but because it's deemed a potential chore, it's often just doesn't get done. I'm really bad at making sure I clear out my clutter, and mostly this looks like this. I pull a number of the big weeds out and place them on a pile in the garden. And as I move through the garden, there's a few piles there that start building up. And the plan is always to go back and pick up said piles and put them, obviously, in my compost bin. But I often get distracted and the piles end up just rotting where I leave them again. Very naughty, but then there is a reason that this podcast is called The Messed Up Gardener, because I really do sometimes mess it up. Now, this is where the arborist in me comes out for this next tip, and that is to prune and trim. It is really important for the health of your garden to cut back overgrown shrubs, trees, trim hedges, and prune any plants that have become unruly. This will not only improve the appearance of your garden, but also promote new growth. I cannot stress to you enough how important it is to make sure that you have a clean and sharp pruning instruments when doing this task. There is nothing worse than not having a clean cut when pruning, because you are increasing the risk of damaged surfaces, which encourage for, you know, potential pests and diseases into those fresh cuts. Also, transference of diseases from one plant to another can also be very damaging to your garden, especially if it's already struggling a little bit. So cleaning your cutting equipment is so very important and very simple. You can either have a dip with water and bleach in it where you dip your tools in. Just make sure you dry them up properly before you put them away, and also give them a wipe down with a bit of an oily rag, preserving your equipment. You can use any sort of oil. I like to use a bit of my olive oil because I have it in a spray can as well, but you know, any of the other oils work as well. Or you can run a lighter flame over the cutting surfaces, therefore ensuring that you're managing the the pest and disease risk to your already tired garden. The following tip is always something I mention regularly, and that is to add fresh mulch. It doesn't have to be a lot, but do spread a layer of fresh mulch around the flower beds and trees to help retain moisture, suppress your weeds, and obviously improve the overall aesthetics of your garden. Just again, make sure that the mulch is not hard up against any stems or trunks to prevent rot from establishing at those touch points. If you can collect material from your own garden, such as autumn leaves or clippings, you are utilizing what your gardens are already producing and recycling it back. And mulch doesn't have to become an expensive operation if you do so. Now, the next tip I want to have a chat about is especially useful when you are trying to revive a very tired garden, and that is to feed your plants. In this situation, it pays not to be a cheap ass and use a high quality fertilizer to nourish your plants and promote healthy growth. Be sure to follow the instructions on the product packaging for best results. Again, just a quick point I want to raise. If you have a mixture of potted plants and garden plants, then just double check the labels on your fertilizers, because not all fertilizers can be used for potted plants, and it may pay to spend the money and get a gardening-specific fertilizer and a pot plant-specific fertilizer. I absolutely love the Nitrofosca Blue for the gardens, especially for the vegetable plants, as it has a good selection of micro and macronutrients. It contains fast and long-lasting nitrogen sources for rapid, sustained plant growth, and with it being in a granular form, it is also very easier to apply. It isn't dusty, and you can't smell it. Best of all, it is The best part of it is that it has a very minimal impact on soil pH, and it takes approximately 3 tablespoons per square meter, so a big bag of roughly 1.5 kilos goes distance. You can pretty much buy this from any garden center and hardware store. Do wear gloves when you're spreading it though, for obvious reasons. It's still a form of a chemical and you don't want that stuff on your skin. From experience, I've never seen animals go after it. If, you know, definitely not like the blood and bone where the dog dug huge holes in the garden after I used it. Now, that's basically the next tip, is a no-brainer. And of course, planting new flowers and shrubs, well, quite quickly give the appearance of a fresh and revitalized garden. Now, you do this by introducing the new plants to add color and a variety to your garden. Choose species that are well suited to your climate and soil conditions for optimal success. So when you're assessing your garden and then sitting down to make a plan as to what you're going to do to spruce up the garden, it is an absolutely fantastic opportunity to change up how your garden performs by adding plants that are, say, more drought tolerant or more acid loving, if that's what your soils are more leaning towards in the pH levels. Again, just so we're clear, this does not have to be a massive big task, and you can do it in incremental steps. Keep your plant diaries handy and write up your plant plans and your timelines as to when you want to achieve these outcomes, by at the same time obviously being respectful to your current season you're in. A great way to rejuvenate any garden and give it a new feel is also to create focal points. So consider adding focal points such as a decorative fountain, a trellis with climbing plants, or a colourful garden statue to enhance that visual interest and create a sense of balance in your garden. I know that some people are not fans of artificial structures such as garden statues or fountains, and focal points can also be group plantings with a specific colour or foliage type. It doesn't always have to be something really fancy and unnatural. I have seen garden edging made from beautiful ajugas and then layered with some stunning grey low growing lavenders in groups of say 5, which become the focal point itself. Again, manipulating the layers in your garden can become the focal point and can play a big part in reviving that garden. Now, the next tip is absolutely something that came about when I was looking at lighting for my mushroom grow room, and that is to install outdoor lighting and illuminate your garden with strategic lighting to extend its enjoyment into the evening hours. So solar panel powered lights are a great eco-friendly option. There are also some incredible options out there now as technology has developed, in particular LED strips. These come in a number of different colours, and with a little 12-volt converter plugged into a power socket on a timer, you know, can even on its own make such a statement in your garden. Lining, say, a pathway or a fence or a pergola can look exceptional. You just don't necessarily want too many of them, or else they may appear a bit tacky. I am personally looking at blue LED lighting strips as the grow lights in the fruiting rooms, as the research has shown that they are actually more beneficial to help the fungi develop. So it'll be interesting to see if that does indeed happen, and I'll be way more, it will be way more economical to light the room up using these LED strips than the traditional grow room lights, which cost a fortune. This really does lead nicely into the next tip, which is basically to add functional elements. Okay, so what I mean with that is incorporate practical elements such as a seating area, a pathway, or a vegetable garden to make your outdoor space more inviting and usable. Surprisingly, there is actually something very warming about having a vegetable garden tucked away in your main gardening space. To me, having a veggie garden gives me a feeling of abundance because at any one time I can go out there and harvest food for my family. I'm not reliant on supermarkets and their schedule. Instead, I can just walk out there and help myself to some silver beet or perpetual spinach or bok choy, tomatoes, capsicums, and oh my gosh, what else have I got in there at the moment? There are figs, blueberries, and my persimmons, my feijoas are now also ready to be harvested. I mean, what a luxury. And before we know it, we'll have a consistent supply of mushrooms and hydroponic lettuces. I'm thinking of doing reds and greens in the lettuces, definitely using the fancier varieties, because if I'm going to do it, I might as well do it properly. I will also be slipping in a few cucumbers and courgettes during the season. I mean, why not? I might as well make the most of it. And if I can earn some extra dollars and cents, it'll all be paying for itself. Anyway, the last tip I want to talk about today is uber important, and something I haven't been doing as much of lately. Again, like I said previously, I'm exceptionally lucky that I actively use the successional gardening methodology, or else I would really be in the poo, and that is to ensure that you complete regular maintenance. This is where you keep up with regular maintenance tasks such as watering, weeding, and pruning to ensure that your revived garden continues to thrive and look its best. If watering is going to be an issue, set up an irrigation system on a timer. If weeding is something that holds you back, and make sure your garden is loved, then make sure you put in plenty of mulch. They will suppress those weeds. If you have vegetation that is inclined to have dieback regularly, find a list of, a variety that isn't as susceptible to that dieback and plant those. But ultimately, like anything, as long as you look after it, the gardens will continue to thrive and stay healthy. Nobody is perfect when it comes to the gardens, and everybody has their own ways of managing them. I know I'm certainly not perfect, and I've had years of gardening. So by following these tips and investing some time and effort, you can transform your tired old garden into a vibrant and beautiful outdoor sanctuary, no matter what the season is. I apologize for some of my stutterings and boo-boos tonight. I'm exhausted and it is already 20 past 12. So I hope there was something of interest in this episode. If you do have any gardening questions, please do reach out. I'm going to keep compiling a list, and every now and again I'll do an episode on a bunch of combined questions. Every week I mention this, and don't be shy. Let me know if you're needing some private coaching, no matter what level, from beginner to experienced. Reach out and let's have a chat. I have a few one-on-one gardening mentoring spots available. Sometimes it really is easier to accomplish a task or a project having a gardening mentor and quietly holding you accountable to whatever tasks you set. Flick me a DM or email me and let's check to see how we can work together. My contact details, as always, are in the show notes. Don't forget to email me or DM me for any one of my gardening freebies. And as always, I say gardening can happen in any space and in any place and on any budget. Have an incredibly abundant week, and I'll buzz you later. Bye. Thanks for listening to today's episode. I would love to hear about your gardening adventures. Flick me a DM on Instagram at TheMessedUpGardener or send me an email and let's connect. Don't forget to check out my gardening reels on TikTok. If you are looking for some help planning your next garden project or just need some one-on-one private coaching, reach out and let's get growing. If you have a garden-related business or you're looking at starting a gardening business, including arboriculture, land clearing, firewood, or a general plant growing and selling business, let's work together in my one-on-one private business development coaching container. Having helped my clients grow several six-figure plus businesses, including from startup to working on million-dollar open space management contracts for many years now. Let me help you and let's grow your business so you can leapfrog your profits and establish a viable and sustainable business. If you're looking for a business podcast, check out the Let's Biz You Up podcast, available on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. If this episode was at all helpful, please share with others and let's get growing in any space, in any place, and on any budget. Till next time, happy gardening and buzz you later.